The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, October 20th, 2017, and we're not too far from the weekend. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarito Sun, sitting in for Bill, who has been enjoying gorgeous northern New Mexico this week to celebrate the birthday of his lovely wife, Anne. You can share in their adventure on Bill's Facebook page. He's been posting from Santa Fe and Taos and other spots along the trail. It's been fascinating to watch. We have Tom Fairbanks running the show from inside the control booth. Welcome, Tom. Always
Thank
glad
you.
You're there. Always glad you're here.
Me too. Glad to be anywhere.
Since I don't know how to run that soundboard. The show is live Monday through Friday at noon here on KVOI 1030 AM, and we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Friday show also re-airs on Saturday at 7 AM, and you can find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, Bill likes to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners. They are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, Sahuarito Sun, Southern Arizona News Examiner, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Three Sonorans. And speaking of TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, the publisher and editor, is with us. Welcome, Dylan.
Indeed. Thanks for having me. Thanks to Bill for inviting us both in to mind the store while he's off playing, I guess.
Certainly it makes him nervous.
Well, Tom keeps things well in hand.
He does. In today's Friday Focus interview, we're talking to a familiar face in Pima County, but a guy who is in a new role. We are going to welcome Ray Carroll to the show, and if you want to join the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Most people know Ray Carroll as a Pima County supervisor, but he stepped away from that role in January after about 20 years, and this week was appointed to the open position at the Green Valley Justice Court. Ray, welcome to the show.
Dan, thank you very much. And Dylan, good afternoon to you. And Tom, thanks for manning the keyboards, as Dan just mentioned.
you're the new justice of the peace down in my part of the world. That's a big change.
It sure is, one that I'm very much looking forward to. I'm just biting at the bit. I've got lots of important seminars and training that are going to be coming up for me starting in November. And that goes through November, December, January, and I think it's going to be very helpful. You probably realize I've been shadowing judges. We had Judge Penn here yesterday and Judge Royal on Wednesday. But I've also been up in the courts as the process was going through the appointment process and sat with almost all of the other JPs. It was a very enlightening experience, although I've had some court experience and some experience of my own as a victim advocate and other parts of training that I've received. This is just an awesome opportunity, and just like this interview, I'm going to do the very best I can.
Very good. Well, give us a rundown for those who don't know. What kind of cases does a Justice of the Peace handle?
Well, the jurisdiction on this court is civil lawsuits where the amount in dispute is $10,000 or less. So yesterday there was a landlord-tenant controversy, just a couple small items remain there that I watched Judge Penn very well deal with, and I think that it was a meeting of the minds that finally occurred, and that's one of those that occurs probably more often than not. Small claims cases up to $3,500, we heard one of those yesterday, and a full range of criminal and civil traffic offenses, including driving under the influence. So justices of the peace resolve misdemeanor allegations, shoplifting, writing bad checks, etc. But one of the big exciting things we do, Dan, and is I'm not supposed to advertise this, so don't consider this an advertisement, is we marry people. And I have Rachel and Ryan coming in here at 5 p.m. when the court closes. To be married by the Justice of the Peace today at 5 p.m. It's pretty exciting.
Fantastic. Hey, we want a photo of that, your first wedding, in a sense. So that's a big deal, actually, Ray. And I've heard from the two other Justices of the Peace who were before you, Lisa Royal and then Gail White, that was one of their favorite parts of the job, actually.
I can believe it. I remember seeing weddings with Chuck Shipman and back to Howard Nordeck. All these people we just mentioned, by the way, were not lawyers. All the justices of the peace in the Green Valley Court as I recall, in my terms, were not lawyers. I'm not sure about the person that was serving back in the 80s and 90s before I arrived here, but Howard Nordeck, you know, Chuck Shipman, Gail White, Lisa Royal, all non-lawyers who I think did a very good job here with deciding people's cases.
Well, a big part of the job is common sense and fairness and just being even-handed. And heaven knows that you've dealt enough with a lot of various personalities, shall we say, in 20 years as a supervisor, and those personalities were in front of you in the call to the public, and they were sitting next to you. So I think you probably come fairly well prepared. You were appointed on Tuesday morning, sworn in that afternoon. They had you working on Wednesday. As you say, you in a sense have this JP boot camp coming up. What exactly are they going to be covering there, and when are you on your own?
Well, the things that we'll be studying, there's a Governor's Office of Highway Safety, DUIs and traffic coming up. First I'm starting with small claims hearings, and that's in the beginning of November. Second, after that, there's pro tem training for initial appearances, and that's mid-November. December 1st, I'll be going up for the Governor's Office of Highway Safety for DUI and traffic stops. Orientation for judges is a two-week thing in January. That's for all judges, including pro tem judges and newly appointed JPs like myself. So that's a whole 2 weeks in January. Back then in the spring, April has a judicial conference for 3 days. May has civil traffic hearings for 3 days. There's obviously a lot in these courses, and I think that's about the majority of what I'll be receiving the training for. That's a big budget. You're probably guessing that it's going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars to train me, and that's true. It's important that I learn exactly the process, the rules, and the ARS statutes to make good legal decisions. But I also want you to know that one thing that I'm sure of on Tuesday, you know, it was a very political discussion and a political meeting. Well, I'm not a supervisor anymore, and I didn't engage in that.
Right.
I'm wearing a new hat. New responsibilities come with that honor. And I'm like my old friend Tom Ward, who ran this office for me in Green Valley for about a decade. He used to quote St. Paul, think anew and act anew. And that's what I'm intending on doing, thinking anew, acting anew, and helping people resolve some of the most outstanding problems and conflicts in their lives. I think that you'll notice, I hope, a change, and Dan, as we work down here together. I hope you will, and I hope you know that anything that you'd like to say to me it can be done, and I'll take it in the friendship and the offer of courteous help that you always intend.
Thank always you. Appreciated.
So, Ray, or Judge Ray, Judge Carroll, what are we supposed to call you now? Still Sugar Ray? Does that still work?
Dylan, you can call me Sugar Ray when we're together in private, but I think if you ever appeared in front of me.
There we go.
I'll make sure not to speed down in Green Valley then. So justices of the peace are generally elected positions. You were appointed by the Board of Supervisors to fill a vacant seat through the election next year. Are you already planning on running again to keep that seat on the bench?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and pull the paperwork to run for the Justice of the Peace job in Precinct 7 down here. And, you know, as soon as the dust settles and I get a little more, let's say, organized and able to do a priority list, that's about number 5 on my most recent priorities. I already have a treasurer from my 5 campaigns. That's David Smallhouse. And David Smallhouse will agree to be my treasurer. Now, there's a difference. I used to be able to raise my own money for my campaigns. I used to solicit the funds. I could raise for other people's campaigns, whether it was John McCain or, you know, John Kyle or anybody in the day. I was a good fundraiser for them. I cannot do that any longer. And I'm going to have to make kind of a third-party arrangement to solicit and market my campaign for funding. So it's something that I'm going to have to learn a little more of the rules of, but I intend on running for the office, and I intend on doing it in the way that all the other judges that run have done in the past, and that they would be proud of my campaign is my goal.
One other question that sort of touches on the issue of money, and that's about your pension. You didn't serve quite long enough on the Board of Supervisors to get the full pension that you could get after 20 years. You were about 6 months short.
Right.
Does this or does this not, becoming an elected official, again, even though you're appointed, you're being paid as an elected official, will that add to your years of service so you can get that full pension?
You know, Dylan, in the morning paper, I think it was a couple of days ago, it was obvious that we called the public safety personnel retirement system people. And I work with Shannon Hatch. She's my advisor. But there's also a member of that staff that was quoted in the morning paper saying that I am not eligible for any additional points towards my original supervisor pension. I would have been had I run for a sixth term and taken the 6 months that I had not served and added them through that office, the supervisor office. But if you're a supervisor once, you're not going to get a second pension. That's been precluded. I will receive no pension from being a justice of the peace, is what I've been told by Shannon Hatch, which is what Murphy Woodhouse was told by their public relations or their PIO, public information officer, that I won't be receiving. But that's not why I took the job. I took the job because I feel fulfilled when I help people. That's what I was put on earth to do. That's what I've been doing since I was a very young person. And that's what I intend on doing until they put me in the ground. So it's not about the money, Dylan. I'm getting paid a salary here, but I do not get any more points to my pension as a supervisor, the public safety personnel pension, and I do not receive a second or a new pension. I just received a salary based off of judicial credits that I develop here as a small claims and other types of worker as a justice.
Okay, very good. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. We are with Ray Carroll, Justice of the Peace, on our Friday Focus interview, and we are going to be right back.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Fiery chili, decadent chocolate, enduring traditions at Tohono O'Toole's annual Chilies and Chocolate Festival. Enjoy culinary demonstrations, Day of the Dead face painting, live music and local art Friday and Saturday, October 27th and 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Throughout the gardens, vendors feature Day of the Dead inspired crafts, chili roasting, chocolate and culinary tastings and more. Tickets are $15 for general public and $5 for members. For more information, visit tohonochule.org.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. He'll be back next week. Looking forward to that. We're talking to Ray Carroll. That's a name you might recognize as a Pima County supervisor, but he was appointed this week to fill the remaining term of Lisa Royal, who left the Justice Court down in Green Valley in August to take a court administrator position. Hey, Ray, I almost hesitate to address this, but you and I have talked, and you wanted to. You are a man of faith. It's important to you. How's it going to influence you in your new job?
Well, there's been national discussion about people who are of deep faith, or as they say, people of faith who have a great, they live their faith loudly. I'm not one of those, but I'm certainly a devout Catholic. I've received one of my nomination letters for this post was from the Bishop of Tucson, Gerald Kakanis. I have a good relationship with the Catholic Church. I've been on the diocese board of the bishop's home parish of St. Augustine for many years. And I've been active in the Green Valley parish now, Our Lady of the Valley, where I went to morning mass this morning. But I mention this because I have taken some criticism about the role of faith in my life and how it might affect me as a politician years ago, but today I guess it's more important to notice that it talks about judicial picks nationally. Many times there's been an anti-Catholic or a discussion about whether Catholics' personal views will override their legal judgment. And I can just tell you the dispute carries way back to 1960 presidential campaign. We might remember that John F. Kennedy was accused of taking his orders from the Pope instead of from his constituents are the American people. And I just have to say that that it would never, has never precluded me from voting at the Board of Supervisors. I'd never had to take a recusal over an issue of Catholic faith. But if it does come up, and my job as judge, I want to assure you that I will follow the law. And if there is a rare case that I would have to object to on conscience, I would recuse myself. So So there are people who criticize me about being a Roman Catholic or being a daily communicant, and I just think that it's a very private matter for myself and my God and my parish and my family, who I've raised in the Catholic Church, as we have probably since the year 432, when St. Patrick converted the Irish of where I come. We've been practicing for, I guess that's hundreds of generations, this particular faith, and I won't stop that, and I'll continue to go to morning masses, even though I'll be criticized probably by certain folks in our community for doing so.
Okay, well, hopefully that one's put to rest. We want to welcome to the Buckmaster Show live line Eric from Tucson. Eric, you got a question for Ray Carroll?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Didn't you publicly support Steve Christie for the county supervisor position that he took?
Well, yes, I did.
Okay, so then he voted for you for this position, correct?
Yes, that's the legal process that occurred.
I understand it's a legal process, but also part of the legal process is when there's an appearance of impropriety, when you scratch his back and he scratches yours. And please, I don't try and get over on the public here, because he should have recused himself. And in you being a prospective justice of the peace, if he didn't, you should have requested that he do so, because of the appearance of impropriety. You publicly supported him, and then he voted for you. How cozy. Let me also ask you this. How do you feel that you're more qualified? And I know that you don't have to be a lawyer to be a judge, so don't school me on that. How do you feel that you're more qualified than candidates that had law degrees, passed the bar exam, and decades of legal experience?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Eric. We're going to let Ray jump in here and answer those questions. And some of those, by the way, were answered at a public forum in Green Valley a couple of weeks ago. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, Mr. Christie and I did not talk about this appointment. I certainly let them know, and District 4 and the others, that I was applying. And he sent his chief of staff to the public forum. I thought I did well there. It's always as compared to who in politics, and he made a choice that I appreciate that I didn't coerce him into making, period. I didn't discuss the issue with him at all, except to tell him that I was going to put my hat in the ring. That's the answer to that, Eric. It's a perfectly legal process. I endorsed Keith B. during his campaigns as a senator when I was a supervisor. We go 20 years ago, way back. And then I eventually appointed Keith B. to be the judge when Judge James Green retired. Does that disqualify Keith's service over the last 20 years? He's not a lawyer. He built himself into a judge the same way I'm going to, by burning the midnight oil like I did when I was a supervisor. I understood every department budget, and every department purpose and use. So the people that support me, I think, will tell you, Eric, that I'm going to be fair, and I've been honest, and my relationship with Steve Christie is a professional and a personal relationship that had no influence on his vote. He looked at the facts, and he made a choice.
And Ray, I think we should point out also is that when you had endorsed him for your seat, we had no idea that this position was going to be open in Green Valley.
We absolutely did not, and I did not know that Lisa Royal would be retiring until I read it in the paper, and that's when I decided I would always have loved to live in Green Valley. I just turned 55 a year ago.
And that's a qualifier.
So they let you in?
So now I can get in. My wife is still only 29. But she's going to be living with... Yeah. We are putting our house in Tucson on the market, and we are moving to Green Valley as permanent residents. I rent an apartment here, as I told you. It takes a while, Dan, as you know, in the pipeline to rent down here.
Sure.
You got to call a lot of numbers out of state to try to get looks at their apartments. I can't tell you how many people I spoke to in Michigan.
Tough time of year to rent. Also, I want to address the second part of Eric's question, which is qualifications. And this comes up all the time. I was at that forum. There were 8 people up for this position, and I know at least 2 of them were lawyers. Maybe more than that. I don't know that automatically qualifies you, but it certainly does. It does say something for your background. You are not a lawyer, as you pointed out. Most of our current JPs are not lawyers, but why do you feel comfortable stepping into this role?
Well, Well, first off, there's a great staff that exists here, and the staff is managed by a woman named Elvia, and the relationship that she has with Pima County goes way back to Judge Jan Julo. In fact, she's been a clerk for a long time, and now she's a manager. She started out like I did without any knowledge of this, and she's been worked in and worked up to the training. The important thing that you should know is that the people that are here, I have five excellent clerks that work under Elvia. She's their supervisor with Leticia, Melanie, Margie, Margarita, Michelle. They all know their business, and they're all teaching me as we go along. I'm just helping observe and signing documents. You wouldn't believe the amount of days and hours that I've put in already. I think I'm coming up to speed rather quickly. I do want you to know that I have the confidence of so many group and community leaders in Green Valley that they're willing to give me a chance to hit the ground running. Once I burn some more midnight oil, get all my training together, I do believe that I can have a great encore in the law business. For being a supervisor, I think it was very helpful for me. I understand a lot about mediation and a lot about working with the public because of the years that I've been involved in this community, not just in the law business as a supervisor or as a member of the arbitration committee for the Arizona Bar Association, which is what I do, but I've also been working with attorneys. For example, I'm a member of the Tucson Jewish Community Foundation, and I'm on their finance committee. James Whitehill is the chairman of the finance committee, and what we do is some very technical and important work. I've worked for the Tucson Hebrew Academy as well as a board member and did a lot of very important and stuff that I kept in confidence. I'm trustworthy with confidences, which is the first rule. And secondly, courteous to adversaries is something that I was taught by many of the judges and the law professionals that I've worked with over the years. I think that my experience, whether it's on the Arizona Desert Museum Board, I'll continue to do that. I'll continue to work for the diocese and other groups that as long as I don't fundraise, I can still get experience and community understanding by all the side work that I've done over the years.
Ray, we have just less than a minute left, but I wanted to hit on this point that was brought up at that forum. The Green Valley Court in particular has seen a dramatic drop in caseloads. Let me give you some numbers. In 2010, the court had just over 18,000 cases. In 2015, it was about 3,400. That's an 81% drop. Concerned about this?
Yes, I am. Greatly concerned, but you know, the court has to be open each day from 8 to 5. That's statute. That's we take payments and we do orders of protection, restraining orders. We docket cases. There's conditions imposed that are tracked for compliance on those off days. So there's court going on 2 days. We'd like to expand so people don't have to drive 30 or 40 miles to court into a third and a fourth day, obviously. But our people down here are very efficient. They're cross-trained on every aspect of being a clerk. And I think that I met with the constable. We're talking about ways, number one, to increase the numbers of cases that are going to be heard in this court, number one. Number two, we're also listening and working with the Kyle Bryson, and he's the Superior Court presiding judge, about doing a study. They waited for the supervisor, or they waited for the JP, to take the seat before these discussions continued. So now I'm at the table, and I'm working with, there's been no delay on consolidation discussions.
Okay.
They're now bringing me into the table to talk about it. There's no news on that. I just do believe that my part of my job is to make sure we protect people's ability to have the hearings closer to their homes, and that's to expand the make sure that we have 2 days of court now. We managed to fill our entire docket, those 2 8-hour days.
Right.
But I think we can find a third and fourth day as long as me continuing to discuss with the leaders, and especially the constable and the sheriff and the other members of law enforcement down here in Green Valley.
Okay, that is going to wrap it up for our Friday Focus interview. Ray, we really appreciate you taking a big part of your lunch break to speak with us, and all the best to you in your new role.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Dylan and Tom. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Thanks. Adios.
When we return, we're going to be joined in studio by Dylan Smith. He's going to hang around, and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. We hope you will stick around.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is time for our Friday roundtable. We're joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, with stays over from the first half hour, and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, you attended a talk last night put on by the UA College of Social and Behavioral Sciences. Shout out to them. The guest was Dean Baquet. He is the editor of the New York Times. I also had the opportunity to attend. He said a lot of things. What did you get out of it?
You know, I really like to hear the most profitable news organization in the entire world saying that the future is in local news, and telling a room full of people interested in news to, you know, support their daily publications.
Yeah, and that was really good to hear. He said a couple of surprising things. He said they have roughly 1,300 people in their newsroom and that this is the same as they had 10 years ago. Not that they didn't take an awful huge dip between today and 10 years ago, but he says they're getting the people, you know, back in the newsroom. More foreign bureaus. They've got several bureaus in the United States that they used to not have. And so they're certainly pushing it, but really they're a different animal, Dylan Smith, than everybody else. You know, Wall Street Journal, New York Times.
Yeah, there's a certain level of publications that, because of, you know, just the sort of historic revenues that they still pull in, operate on a completely different basis than everybody else. The Times, the Post, the Journal. But you get beyond that, and certainly those organizations have seen their troubles. You get down into even other major metros like the Chicago Tribune, LA Times. You see some pretty troubled news organizations that have had to cut and cut and cut.
And definitely. And he said, though, today, surprisingly, I should say last night, that they are making money digitally. They have 130 million digital readers. That doesn't mean they're all paying for it. In fact, their paid subscription for print and digital is about 3 million subscribers. So that's certainly good compared to everybody else. But
and that doesn't mean those are actually individual
correct
readers. What gets counted on a website or an app as a reader is one device. You know, I've got three computers and a phone. That's I'm not four readers of the New York Times.
Correct.
Actually, each browser on a computer. So I'm a dozen readers myself.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, Joe. He was getting into this conversation about 20 things that newspapers used to do for people that people needed. I mean, you didn't really know what the weather was going to be like until you read the newspaper. Sports, stocks, crime, city government, you know, some of these basic things, and you needed your paper for that. You know, the Weather Channel didn't exist or whatever websites, you know, so we're talking back in the 70s and 80s. People needed us for those things. They don't need us for those things anymore, but they still need us.
Well, they do need us, though. I mean, you know, if we have a weather event, you really can't just go to your phone to figure out, you know, why there's flooding or when the rain's going to stop. I mean, you do still need reporters for more than just politics and local news.
Right, and he said, I'm going to quote him here. He said, if you're honest and fact-based, readers of all stripes will read you. And I think that was aimed at the people who try to put all newspapers in, you know, one box or another, and those boxes are colored red and they're colored blue. And oftentimes the opinion page, which he acknowledged the New York Times leans left, is the way he worded it. And I think I'm hearing some people laughing at that because they think that it's
left,
tilting and falling and, you know, hard left. But
establishment left, maybe. Certainly not left in the broader sense.
Well, he gave them that. But you have to make that delineation between the opinion pages and the news pages, which, of course, we guard against that type of influence. So he also talked again about one of the what he called the big tragedies of journalism, and that is the decline of local news coverage, and that's because of cutbacks. But he made that interesting point that a lot of papers, and we'll just say mid-sized papers, have made these tremendous cuts, and in doing so, stopped covering local news as closely as they once did, lost a lot of readers, and now they're realizing, oh, wow, that's really where our market is, and they're trying to win them back, and they're finding it very difficult because people are saying, you know what, maybe a little bit of TV and what I'm reading on Facebook is enough, rather than having the professionalism of a local newspaper weigh in. Dylan, these other things, I guess you're one of them. You have a startup news website that is very non-traditional. This wouldn't have happened, of course, 15, 20 years ago, but you're making a go of it, and you're kind of chipping away at what used to be the traditional means of getting news in this market.
Yeah, a little bit. I've certainly come down on the side of believing that it's very, very important that we have reliable, accurate, professional, dedicated local news that people can trust.
Sure.
Versus, you know, just the sort of random screaming headlines laden with opinion that you too often see posted by people on Facebook because it appeals to their confirmation bias or sense of outrage and they need to share it right now.
Right.
You know, somebody's got to sift through all the reports and go through the details and sit until the very end of a meeting to make sure that something doesn't slip by. And that takes dedicated hard work from real reporters. And frankly, I think the more reporters we have in this town, the better. The more sources of real news we have in this town, the better. It's that's what makes for a healthy community, is people having access to actual, real information they can trust.
It's very interesting that he addressed President Trump, in fact, right out of the gate, that he was asked about that, and he flat out said, President Trump has been good for us. And I think he's talking about all newspapers. It has certainly regenerated a lot of interest in news and how it's gathered and the proper way to present it and to put in front of readers. But he also said that Donald Trump has been the most accessible president ever, I'm sure. Twitter helps out with that, but he said a year in, we know more about Donald Trump than we ever knew about Barack Obama. And part of that is because of all the turmoil that is generated around this administration. People within the administration are talking a lot more. That's probably why we have so many of those stories that have these anonymous sources, because people inside want to talk, but they don't want to lose their jobs. So Donald Trump certainly has turned a lot of things on its ear, but in a sense, it's been good for journalism. And I think it's good, Joe, that we have to defend sometimes how we approach our jobs.
It happens more and more, but he talked about lifting up the veil that the gray lady used to have of not talking and interacting in its own community. And I think that it's important as journalists to get out there and just talk to people and say how we're doing our job. I think it really adds a air of credibility to us.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing that Trump and sort of the conversation, the social media fervor that's gone along with politics in the last couple of years, it's made it much too easy for politicians and political activists to just out of hand deny the validity of real hard news by just calling it fake news.
Right, exactly.
And they can just pretend that it's not true and it didn't exist and that the world is poised against them. And this is happening both from the right and from the left. That instead of dealing with the facts, which are demonstrable, they can just cover their eyes and attempt to tell everyone else that things are fake, when in fact they are the God's honest truth.
I'll tell you, some of the biggest criticism I get at our paper is we run factcheck.org, which is right up the middle organization that just takes what whoever says in government or in it could be lots of different people who are making news and fact checks them. And some people
do. Is it true? Is it not true? Were they right or were they wrong?
And some people just simply will not accept this. And when I finally started hearing people say that the Associated Press was biased and couldn't be trusted, and then they start going after something like Snopes, if you want to look at the internet, one of the sites on the internet that tries to get to the truth also, you realize that some people simply have already made up their mind and nothing's going to change it.
And that's sad, really, when it comes down to it, that people can desire so much to live in the world that they want to, that they just pretend that things that they don't like don't exist.
And I wonder, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just saying, last night, Dean said that number is up to 25% by his estimation. That's a really
That's right.
troubling number.
It is, but sometimes I think we worry too much about the 25%, and instead of the 75% are saying, we want our news. Go out there and get it, and don't worry about having to prove yourself to the others. There's always going to be that number out there. You are listening to The Buckmaster Show, and I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who's going to be back from vacation next week. We're with Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Talking about good journalism, Dylan, you have a story at TucsonSentinel.com. Why do a lot of campaigns seem to struggle when it comes to reporting what they've brought in and what they've spent?
Yeah, there all three of the campaigns that are either promoting or opposing initiatives that are in the Tucson ballot, the Strong Start education sales tax, proposed zoo tax, and the folks who are opposed to Strong Start, Proposition 204, all had some paperwork troubles of one kind or another. Especially with the pro-Strong Start folks and the zoo tax, we had hundreds of thousands of dollars in contributions to those campaigns and expenses that were not properly filed with the city. They were eventually, but any donation or any check that they write that's $10,000 or over, they are required by city law to report within 24 hours. Then they can just quite simply send an email to the city clerk saying, hey, we just spent $12,000 on X. And it's as easy as that. And for months and months and months, they were ignoring this. And the folks opposed to Prop 204 right out of the gate started filing, although their first filing was not quite as transparent as it should have been. They said that they got a donation for over $10,000 rather than saying just the simple fact that it was a $30,000 donation.
Right.
But the other campaigns had multiple transactions that should have been noticed to the city within 24 hours that were not until we started asking questions this week. The folks at the city clerk's office didn't contact these campaigns until after we called the city clerk's office and asked them what was going on. In fact, they said, can you hold on and not call them for a few minutes so we can call them first?
And that's why we need good journalists. Okay, that is going to wrap it up for our Friday roundtable for this week. My thanks to Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. And if you want more on that story, go to that site, and he's got it all there. It's a terrific story. And Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, thank you for coming on over.
Thanks for being me.
Thank you both for joining me. When we return, Dan Gibson is going to help us plan our weekend. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR6030-5859, enhancedopenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
It's now time for Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwelling National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And now we welcome the party guy, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, you're doing terrific. I'm glad to hear that. You should have been here, Joe and Dylan. They're always much more interesting off the air. I should tell people that.
That sells them short a little bit. They're interesting on the air.
They are. But you know the stuff that's said off air is much more interesting.
That's true. I used to be part of your cool journalist club, but sadly, no more.
And you are a very good one, by the way.
That's not true either, but thank you.
Just being nice. Now,
That's all I could ask.
Well, I know you love what you're doing over at Visit Tucson. It's very important work. If I'm planning a weekend, what am I going to be doing?
Well, you know, here is the top pick of the week for me, Dan, is Los Ventana Canyon has a great brunch every Sunday, the Blues, Brews, and Barbecue Brunch. It's a lot of bees. But they're launching a whole new project called Flavor Tucson. They're partnering with more local artisans. Barrio Bread, Don Guerra there is a genius. Dragoon Brewing Company, Tucson Tamale Company. So they're adding these more local purveyors to their already excellent brunch. You can experience that. All you have to do is give them money. Sunday, October 22nd.
How easy.
Yeah, I know. It's so simple. Just $42 a person. It is really a spectacular brunch. It's probably enough food for the whole day. So, I mean, if you're thinking $42 for a meal, a little wrong, but that's really good for all three meals. It's a splendid time. Yeah. If you also, you know, just go crazy Sunday, you can double header the thing. Maynard's Marketing Kitchen is having their annual Grapes to Glass Wine Festival. It's local wines, delicious food, live music, regional artwork right there by the by Maynard's patio by the train station. Wineries including San Reckoner, Dos Cabezas, Callahan, Sonoyta, Rune, all the great Southern Arizona wineries. They'll be you'll get a glass. I think you get a little thing to hold around your neck to put your wine glass in, so you don't even have to use your hands. That's a great time. Just go to Maynard's website. They'll have more information for you.
Now, Grapes to Glass almost sounds like there's going to be an educational component there. They're going to tell you how it actually gets to the glass, maybe?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's not, not my thing.
Okay.
Learning, not so much, but a lot of great wine. If you want to learn, I'm sure they'll help you out with that.
Yeah, and we have some great wineries down in Southern Arizona. I love driving through that area. It's terrific. So what else you got for us? Anything?
All right, so Saturday, I don't want to leave Saturday in the dust, but Casino del Sol, they're having their second annual Oktoberfest event featuring beer from Sam Adams and Polliner, but also locally made Forbes Meat Company sausages. freshly made German pretzels, mustard braised short shanks, pork shanks. Those were words. All this, it's free to get in, but then you just buy the food you want. So what an excellent deal that is. German desserts for $3 to $5. Get yourself a giant beer. The Forbes Meat Company, their bratwurst, Jägerwurst, delicious. Absolutely can't miss. Head over to Casino del Sol. Just stop by noon to 10 p.m. all day on Saturday.
Well, that is a full weekend, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. You got to wonder, why isn't everybody spending their entire weekend in Tucson?
Well, there's apparently Silver City as well. Oh, I've heard good things about that. Do you have any more to say about Silver City, Dan?
It's terrific, but I always get tongue-tied on Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So
It's a lot to take in.
I'm going to practice. So, hey, Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate the tips for the weekend.
My pleasure, as always.
Okay, and just a reminder that our friend Charles Heller hosts Liberty Watch on this station at 11 a.m. Sunday, right after Swap Shop at 10. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. A big thanks to our team here at KVOI, including producer engineers Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and Ed Alexander, along with production supervisor Jerry Cross, station owners Doug and Mary Martin, and Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rosemary Brandt. I am Dan Shear, wishing you a safe weekend.